This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
The 75th annual NBA draft is Thursday from Barclays Center in Brooklyn, and barring a trade, the Pistons have the first pick. Houston, Cleveland, Toronto, and Orlando follow them. Cade Cunningham from Oklahoma State looks to be the consensus number one. You'll see it 8 Eastern on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app. Our coverage starts at 7:30 Eastern right here on ESPN. And with that, we welcome you back to our studio on what is shaping up to be a very busy Monday morning. We are live, as always, from the Seaport District in New York City. We're brought to you by Chase. I'm Greeny. That's Graziano. We got Lewis Riddick joining the party with Dominique and Booger. And let's get our number two started. We're getting up with Aaron and Adams on the eve of the NFL's biggest decision. The two send a group message. We'll tell you exactly what it meant. And then, is this the most important player in the league this year? Could Peak Zeke finally make the Cowboys super? And then, Sacrebleu, the dream team opens with a French nightmare. We'll tell you just how concerned everyone should be as we get up with you in this hour, starting right now with the day we've all been waiting for. Tomorrow, Green Bay Packers training camp opens, and we will finally get our first official indication as to where things stand with Aaron Rodgers. No more cryptic messages. Speaking of which, over the weekend, Rodgers and Devontae Adams, the, you know, Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid of the Green Bay Packers, posted this, a much more current reference. Pippen and Jordan, they both posted that at the same time with no message, just leaving it for us to try and decide what they meant, otherwise known as pouring gasoline on a fire. And so, as we bring Lewis Riddick into the conversation for the first time this morning. Lewis, we were all, oh, look at the smile on his face. We just played a little game earlier today. What do you think those posts meant? We've not yet heard from you. Lewis, how did you interpret it?
Yeah, man, these guys are having fun. They're trolling. They're trolling. That's what people do now on social media, right? They're passive aggressive. Don't say anything. Don't put any words underneath the picture. Post it at the same time. And it just happens to be two guys who right now are at odds with the organization over their status, so to speak. Obviously, Aaron not necessarily wanting to play there, and Devontae putting a halt to his contract extension negotiations. So, look, I think for those two guys, it means this. We're on the same page, man. I think we're seeing things the same way. I think we're both not in situations that we ideally like right now, and we're in this thing together. Other than that, I think this is the simple, everyday troll in the Packers organization. And you know what? Here's what's interesting about the timing of those Insta stories is this. Today at 11 o'clock local time, Adam Schefter just reported the fact that Brian Gutekunst and Mark Murphy are scheduled to address the annual meeting of shareholders up there in Green Bay. How interesting that today they talk to them. Aaron and Devontae are trolling them, and we're sitting here talking about them trolling them. It just all just kind of bubbles up, right? This makes it a very, very interesting day at around 11 o'clock Green Bay time.
You're 100% right. It's sort of the continuation of a pattern, Dominique, right? Because you go all the way back. You had the day that they opened their mini camp. Aaron Rodgers posting pictures of himself and his fiance with these glamorous photos in Hawaii. We had never seen pictures of him on vacation until that day. So coincidentally, that's the day they come out. Then he's wearing a T-shirt that says, "I'm offended," when he's doing the promo for the golf that he's doing. So Aaron Rodgers has been sending us subliminal messages for quite some time here. The question, Dominique, is what do they mean? Tomorrow, it seems, we'll finally get the answer.
Yeah, I think it does mean that he and Devontae Adams are on the same page, but I'm tired of speculating. It'd be nice if we had an expert, like an insider, someone in the business who knew things, someone whose job it was to uncover these sorts of things. It'd be really great if we had somebody, like if Heather Dinnage worked in the NFL, I'm pretty sure we would know what was going on right now. It'd be awesome. Mike, you know anybody? Greeny?
Let the record show that there is I've got a text chain of 16 angry texts going back and forth between Graziano and Dominique right now over something that was said earlier in this program that seems to have struck a little bit of a nerve. Go ahead, Dan, I'll let you respond.
I mean, I just said players are so sensitive. I said something that didn't exactly agree with something Dominique said in the last segment, so I got to hear about it.
This is about Aaron Rodgers.
Right, so this is about Aaron Rodgers. Ironically, a player who's been too sensitive about certain things this offseason and has this situation coming to a boil. Ooh. Look, we are only as good as our sources, right? So I'm not talking to Aaron Rodgers. I'll put that right out there. He's not one of the people in my phone. So I have people speculating. We don't know what's going to happen. Aaron Rodgers knows what's going to happen. He's pretty much the only one. Maybe Devontae Adams knows too. But all I've got, as I said earlier in the show, is informed speculation of others.
I appreciate that.
It's not always all that informed.
As a sensitive player, I'm happy to play the Aaron Rodgers role. As a sensitive player, you're right. But I'm going to tell you this. One piece of advice. As a former player and a sensitive person, take responsibility. Stop blaming people. You're blaming your sources. Don't blame your sources. Okay. Don't blame your teammates.
You make it
take responsibility. Take responsibility.
That's a great point, Dominique.
I'm sorry I let you guys down. I'll do better next time. I promise I'll have the information on the next breaking story. My bad, Greeny. I let you down, buddy.
How about this? We will definitely have the information tomorrow. Everyone will have it because training camp will open, and either Aaron Rodgers is going to be standing there or he's not. Booger McFarland, what do you expect and what does it all mean?
Greeny, I do not think Aaron Rodgers is going to show up. And I look at all the clues that he's left this offseason. You look at what Adam Schefter told us, is that the Packers offered him a two-year extension that would have tied him there for 5 years and made him the highest paid player in football. He turned it down. So it's not about money. Then what's it about? It's about the respect and his feeling that as an all-time great, I get to control and dictate when and if I leave the organization. And right now, he can't do that. So what choices does he have but to withhold his services? And I think that's the thing that he's done all offseason. And we can And Neek and Grass can get upset and Lewis can be happy. He's going to show up. He hasn't showed up all offseason. So what gives us any clue that he's going to show up tomorrow? I don't have any. I don't think he's coming.
Okay, and I think that's the way a lot of people view it. Lewis, I haven't had you on here in a little bit to talk about this. What happens if he doesn't show up tomorrow? I think most people think that Booger is right. Barring some sort of adjustment to his contract that would happen today, then I don't think most people expect him to show up tomorrow. So take us through this from your expertise in the front office. Like, once he doesn't show up tomorrow, now what happens?
Look, I think for the Green Bay Packers, it's for all intents and purposes, it's business as usual, meaning getting Jordan Love ready and facing the very real possibility that that's our quarterback opening day. That's our quarterback maybe for all 17 games. That's something that they have to wrap their mind around, because if Aaron doesn't show up tomorrow, I expect this to really go ahead and be and something that becomes protracted and prolonged and really kind of maybe bleeds into the first week of the regular season, which is the next really the next point that really there could be a significant point of contention to where we're really having discussions again about, look, Aaron is not messing around here. So I think for them, there really is nothing to do. And I've said that numerous different times as a front office. There's nothing for them to do other than what they supposedly have already done, which is expressed to him that, look, we still want you to be a part of this football team this year in 2021 and maybe for the foreseeable future. Otherwise, the ball is in his court. They don't have to say anything. They don't need to say anything. They've already said too much. And, you know, and as far as, you know, guys being sensitive and this being, you know, a debate about whether or not Aaron is handling this the right way, you know, all of us, things have gotten personal for all of us at some point in time, whether it be in business or in our personal life or whatever. So I guess we're all sensitive. And, you know, Andrew Brandt does one of the best jobs of really trying to contextualize this situation for Aaron. This, you know, in his words, is a deeply, deeply rooted split and chasm between the front office and him. That is not, I just don't think you can boil it down to one thing, and that being Jordan Love being drafted and then moving up and not giving the heads up. This is something that has just built up. And I don't see why anybody should be surprised that, oh man, you mean to tell me like a player in the NFL who's made a lot of money actually has personal feelings and actually has reached the point where he might not like somebody anymore? I think, you know, I think personally that's very reasonable. And I think we're looking at that kind of situation right now.
And so, Graziano, if we can go back to where we started the conversation an hour ago, the two options, well, there are probably more than two. But as far as a binary thing, he can either show up tomorrow or not. If he doesn't, then the best way for him to do that, at least economically, would bring up a possibility that seems a little stunning. What is it?
Well, he could retire, right? I mean, like, he could say, I'm retiring from football. The physical toll of the game has taken too much out of me, and I'm stepping away. This is Carson Palmer did this when he didn't want to play for the Bengals anymore, and he ended up getting traded out of Cincinnati. It worked out for him. Maybe it would work out for Aaron. But the other possibility, I think there is one thing contractually they could do, not extend it, but shorten it. I think if the Packers made an adjustment to Aaron Rodgers' contract that guaranteed he was a free agent at the end of this season, that promised not to franchise him, that's the kind of thing that might be able to get them to a compromise point where he comes in and does a Michael Jordan-style last dance season.
Right, exactly right. But to Lewis's point, that's something they could do. They don't have to do it.
Right, neither does he.
They could just sit back and wait and see what happens and let him. He will make the first move. That will come tomorrow, one way or the other. Then we will go from there. We are just getting started. Up next, the Dallas Cowboys. If the fans expect a great season from Zeke Elliott, one member of our crew says you will be absolutely right. You'll hear that coming up in a moment. And then, once again, Tom Brady making us ask the question, is there anything he can't do? He does have some skeptics, however, in this room. You'll hear from them next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, it is Overreaction Monday. Dan Graziano, a couple of big statements. You tell me if these are overreactions or not. Let's start with this. Ezekiel Elliott will lead the NFL in rushing this season. Is that an overreaction?
It is not an overreaction. Look, he's done it before. He's just 26 years old. The offensive line is healthier. He's motivated after a down year. Sure, Derrick Henry and others will have something to say about this, but if you want to pick this, if you wanted to go to Vegas and bet it, I do not think that it would be the craziest bet you ever placed.
Okay, not an overreaction. Next up to Pittsburgh. This will be Mike Tomlin's first losing season. Is that an overreaction?
I think it is. I think it's an overreaction. It may not be a Dominique Foxworth level overreaction, but I think it is an overreaction to say that the Steelers are going to have a losing season. I recognize the issues that they're dealing with on their roster, but you know, Tomlin and Roethlisberger have never had losing seasons. They've seen this coming. They've had time to set up and try and figure out a way to prove everybody wrong. I think they're motivated to do it.
They have an elite coach and an elite defense. I agree with you completely. Finally, Tom Brady will set a new career high in passing yards. Is that an overreaction?
It's not an overreaction. And look, his career high is high. It's over 5,000 yards. But remember, there's an extra game this year. And look, this is a quarterback who took a little while to get his rhythm in the new offense last year. That's not going to be an issue this time around. Full training camp, full off season, knows all of his receivers. I don't think it's at all impossible. This is an offense that should function at a very high level. And I think Tom Brady's set up to have another big year.
And the receiving core is deep. Again, that was the one area where they were a little banged up last year, and they overcame all of that. Their number one receiver, of course, is Mike Evans, and he was talking about running it back over the weekend and the Tampa Bay mindset in doing so. Listen.
You can't get complacent. You know, we won last year. Today starts a new season. You know, we're the defending champs, but we're not the champs of this season yet. So, you know, we got to keep working and try to reach that goal again.
So, Lewis Riddick, let me bring you into this conversation because you weren't with us a little bit earlier here. The Buccaneers seem to have absolutely everything. You know, the old line, what do you get someone who has it? They have everything. So what's their biggest concern? If we're talking about them getting stopped some point, someplace along the way this year, what will it have been?
Look, I think Mike Evans just used the word. He said you can't get complacent. And that's always going to be your downfall once you have reached the mountaintop and whatever it is that you do. Can you keep that same attention to detail? Can you keep that same intensity, resolve, fortitude, whatever word you want to put on it when the going gets tough? Are you able to continue to push through because you're still hungry to achieve more? Or do you rest on your laurels and say, hey, you know what? I've already done this. Look, obviously, when you have Tom Brady, who has done this so many damn times, that to the point where it's become like the only way in which he really can judge himself in terms of success, that winning Super Bowls, then obviously that gives you a great chance to fight this kind of thing off. Look, Dominique, I believe in the last hour made the point about the fact that, you know, the thing that really pulls down teams like this and really kind of hurts their chances of repeating is injury. And that's, there's no question, that's a part of it too. But I think it's the mindset. I think it's the hunger. And can they keep it up again when now they have the target on their back? And it's not about hope, but it's really about expectations. People expect, all of us expect, this football team to be right back in the Super Bowl again. We expect it and would be super disappointed if they don't make it there. Let's just see if they can continue to have that attention to detail like they had last year when it mattered the most.
So, Booger, let me come to you because you live there in Tampa, so you're sort of living amidst this, and you have won two Super Bowls in your career. I remember Rob Ninkovich telling us on the show one time that the way Belichick would handle this is he didn't even make a big deal of the ring ceremony. He said, guys, let's not make too big a deal out of this. The Buccaneers, I just saw it over the weekend, right? They had their ring ceremony. They threw the biggest party I've ever seen, and there were lights, and there was music, and they've got a ring that screws off on the top. So they're obviously handling this very differently than Brady is accustomed to. What do you think of that, the dreaded complacency and the concerns thereof?
Well, I think those are valid points. And times have changed now. And Belichick has his way of doing things. But I think Lewis and Dominique both are right. Injuries withstanding, the biggest thing you have to deal with is just the mindset, Greeny. There comes a point in every season, okay? We won the Super Bowl in Tampa. We go to Philadelphia the first game of the next season. We beat the Eagles 17-0, and we thought we were on our way. But we reached a point in the season where we lost three or four in a row, and it becomes a point where you decide, am I going to put the extra effort in, the extra work? Am I going to try to figure out what's going wrong to fix it and turn it around? The Buccaneers did that last year. Tom Brady held up four fingers. He didn't even know what quarter of the game it was, but they came out of that and they fixed it. They won eight games in a row and they won the Super Bowl. What's going to happen at that point this season? When you get to that point where something's not going to go right, because it's the NFL, no one is going to have just a year where everything goes nice and rosy. You're going to get to some crossroads where you're going to have to put the extra work, the extra effort, the extra sacrifice in. Are you willing to deal with the mindset? Are you willing to have the mental toughness that it takes to deal with? If they can handle that, along with the injury bug, Greeny, they are loaded offensively, and we're not even talking about their defense, which I think is going to be even better this year because the dudes on the back end are going to be better. That's how loaded this team is.
Go ahead, Nate.
Yeah, I mean, but let's be honest. They didn't steamroll through the playoffs last year. Like, each of those games, except for the Super Bowl, has a play here or there that they could have lost. So as good as they are, as talented as they are, they're going to have some tough matchups. And whether it's injury luck or just flat-out one-game elimination luck, that could be part of the problem. But I think Lewis's point is a very valid one. You cannot manufacture intensity. As much as everyone likes to pretend like it's just like a want-to, you just have to want to, there's something about real legitimate urgency, real legitimate desire that you cannot fake. And they're going to have to find a way to create something else for them to aim at. But the urgency that they felt last year, like, that was real. That was brand new. The us against the world, like, that was kind of real. It's not there anymore. So they're going to have to find something else to drive them. And whether they have lights and dancing or whatever at their party, that's irrelevant. But they knew once they get into the practice field, they have to find out what is going to make them do that extra work. What's going to make them go through the pain that's required to win a championship.
Well, if anyone can do it, Lewis, it's going to be Tom Brady because he can literally do the impossible. Yeah. Let's take another look at this. He did something over the weekend that was impossible. Now, Lewis, because all the other members
Seriously,
of this panel
again.
Are so cynical, they're telling me that this video is doctored as Tom Brady throws these beautiful bullets directly into the jugs machine. Again, that's something that someone's supposed to be standing behind and feeding the balls into it so that it gets sprung out to the receivers. But Brady is actually threading that needle and then knocking it down. These guys are trying to tell me that thing is fake. Lewis Riddick, which side are you on?
Nah, Greeny, you know what? If you want to believe it's for real and it's legit, I'm with you, brother. You know what? It's for real. No, it's not. You know what? You know what's interesting about that? I don't doubt that he couldn't hit that target. okay? I don't doubt that he can hit it once or twice. But the fact of the matter is that they stop the tires from spinning that shoots the ball out of the judge machine, because I would assume that physically it's impossible for that ball to be able to wedge itself in there when the tires are spinning the opposite way, number one. So, I mean, you know, hey, Greeny, believe what you want, man. Everybody believes what they want nowadays anyway. Believe what you want.
Well, what does he have? Steven Spielberg running his social media? I mean, he's got better. The special effects in his social media are better than most movies that you see made these days.
Stop giving Greeny hope,
it's
man.
It's a nice video.
I 100% buy into this. All right. We have been doing training camp questions today. We asked everybody to put together their biggest question of training camp. And Dan Graziano, what is yours? You are next up here. What is the single biggest training camp question you want to answer?
One is, why did Booger and I have goofy cartoons of our faces and Dominique didn't? I would like to know that. But the biggest training camp question, how will these quarterbacks split reps in training camp in places where there are competitions? I'm looking at Chicago. I'm looking at San Francisco that we already talked about. Looking at Denver to a certain extent. And I'm looking especially hard at New England, where Cam Newton is going to try and hold off first-round pick Mac Jones. I feel like in Chicago and San Francisco, the coaches there are determined to get their veterans to week one as the starters and hold off the rookie as long as possible. But I think in New England, I think it feels like there's more of a shot of Mac Jones taking over sooner rather than later. So fascinated to see how they split reps once they get that number 50 off of Mac Jones and get him a real number.
That is an interesting one. Lewis, of all of those battles, how do you see that one in New England playing out as to the point Cam Newton tries to hold off Mac Jones?
Yeah, I think of all those ones up there on that screen, that's the most organic, true competition. Open competition. May the best man win here. And look, I believe Cam will be much better than he was last year. New England believes the same thing, otherwise they wouldn't bring him back. And, you know, I mean, just common sense leads you to believe that Cam will be much better. I do believe, though, there's a reason why Bill sat and waited for Mac Jones. I think all the things that make Mac who he is have been things that he's already put on display in the short time that he's been up there. Now, from a physical standpoint, when the volume becomes even heavier and it becomes 11-on-11 and he starts playing some preseason games, can he take the next step? Does he give this football team the best chance to score points, protect the football, not be the reason that they lose game, but contribute to the reasons why they win games? If he does that, he'll be the starter week one. If Bill feels as though that's the case. And I think for me, it's just a matter of time. It's a matter of time before they put him in there. I'd like to see it even before they play Tampa Bay. I think that'd be a huge story for the rookie to be starting in that game.
The Tampa Bay game is week four on a Sunday night, Tom Brady's return to Foxborough. Yeah. All right, well, pause on that thought. Meanwhile, all signs pointing to a return to the playoffs for Dak and the Cowboys. If they don't get there, what would the reason be? We will bring you that answer. And we'll see if Graziano can answer this one from Sneaky Hemba. We're talking about the Cowboys. Here's your question, Dan. Which active quarterback has the most career wins against the Cowboys? That's the question. Graziano goes in search of the answer next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
All right, we are back, and here we go with Graziano in studio, head-to-head with Hembo, and here's the question. Which active quarterback has the most career wins against the Cowboys, including playoffs?
I feel like I have to go with an obvious answer here. I was thinking either Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers, same conference. I know Rodgers has beaten them a couple times in the playoffs. He's been in the league longer. I'm going to guess Aaron Rodgers.
That's right.
That's correct. It is Aaron Rodgers. That is correct. Aaron Rodgers is first. Russell Wilson is second, actually tied Tom Brady, which is fascinating. None of the top three have ever played in the NFC East. Hembo is devastated, and Graziano's lead is once again a touchdown. Dan Graziano,
oh my goodness,
feeling good about himself in 2021. All right, let's put you to work here, Dan. Let's run the hurry up through a bunch of NFL training camp stories. It starts in New England.
Yeah, well, Stephon Gilmore reporting to camp, obviously a good sign that he and the Patriots will get something worked out with the contract. There's been some issues, him staying away from the Patriots in the offseason, but I've talked to teams that are in the cornerback market, and they all seem to think that the Patriots and Gilmore will get something worked out. They haven't been offered what they were looking for in return yet. I think the Patriots have a history of doing this kind of thing with guys in the last year of their contract, adding some incentives, padding the deal. I would bet Gilmore and the Patriots get something worked out for this year. Let's go to Philadelphia. Jalen Hurts prepping to be the quarterback in Philadelphia here in his second year. He's going in as the starter this time. Been told a lot of positive things about Jalen Hurts from people around him, from the Eagles, about this offseason, about improved accuracy, improved, you know, fluidity, just more comfort. Obviously, the Eagles, as Adam Schefter has reported, are monitoring the Deshaun Watson situation, but they are excited about Jalen Hurts in the absence of that sort of Hail Mary option. Speaking of Deshaun Watson, he reported to Texans camp yesterday, which is fascinating because he doesn't want to play for them and he wants them to trade him. Obviously, part of the reason is that he doesn't want to get fined $50,000 a day. Who would? But I think a bigger reason for Watson being there is he's trying to sort of turn up the pressure on Houston. He still wants to be traded. At this point, there's too much uncertainty around him in terms of the lawsuits against him. What will the league do in terms of a potential suspension? That has dampened the interest, but he still wants out of there. Showing up is probably the best way to make sure that that has a good chance of happening.
Well, I've seen within just the last half hour or so, Chris Mortensen is reporting that the asking price is going to be five pieces of value, whether
right.
It's five draft picks or some enormous compensation, which, to your point, right now, no one is going to offer based upon the uncertainty regarding his future. It's always so difficult to talk about this because the matters away from the field
right.
are so serious. But is there any way of getting a sense of a timetable of when any of it might wind up being adjudicated?
No, and that's the problem, right? And I think just even checking in with people late last week, like, just too much uncertainty around the situation. If you trade for him, you don't know how many games he's going to play for you this year because there's still the potential of league discipline. So, something has to be resolved one way or the other with the lawsuits, or the league has to weigh in, or else the Texans are going to have to really drop their price, and maybe that's why he's showing up to get them to do that.
Okay, we'll see. One way or another, there are a lot of different layers to that story. We'll see how it plays out. That's a team with great uncertainty. Let's get to a team with a lot of certainty, or at least they think so. The Cowboys are in training camp in Oxnard, California. The health of Dak Prescott has been the story of camp after his last season was cut short due to injury. His comeback will be one of the biggest factors for the Cowboys' success.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! How about this, Jimmy Johnson? Dallas is one of seven teams that hasn't been to a conference championship game since 1995. So will this be the season that streak ends? Here's what has to happen. First, Dak Prescott is going to have to show everyone he's worth every penny of the massive contract he signed in March.
Do not pay good players great player money.
When Dak broke his ankle against the Giants last season, he was leading the NFL in passing yards. He may have to do that again this season. And even if Dak has a big year, the Cowboys won't be able to win if they don't get back the old Zeke.
They need that offensive firepower from a guy that they've invested a lot of money in.
Last year, Ezekiel Elliott led all running backs in fumbles, and only three of his 296 touches went for 20 or more yards. If Zeke returns to form, that will help keep the Cowboys' defense off the field, a defense that last year allowed more points than all but four teams. So Jerry Jones fired defensive coordinator Mike Nolan and replaced him with Dan Quinn. He drafted eight defensive players, including first-rounder Micah Parsons. Problem solved? We'll see.
All high expectations the Cowboys set for themselves every year, only to always fall short.
The Cowboys do have one thing going for them. They play in the NFC East, where no team has won the division in back-to-back years since the Eagles in 2004. Let me bring the crew in here. And, Lewis, I will start with you because, you know, the expectations for the Cowboys are always high because they're the Cowboys. In the years I've been doing this show, they've never been higher than they are right now. I got one person after another coming on here talking about the Cowboys are going to win the division. They're going to be unstoppable. What is the single biggest concern you have for the Cowboys as training camp now gets fully underway?
Yeah, 25-plus years they haven't been in a conference championship game. That's freaking amazing. My biggest concern, clearly, is this defense. And look, the offense cannot continue to carry the defense and make things easier for the defense. The defense has to carry its own weight. And Micah Parsons has to be everything and more that they expected him to be when they drafted him in 12th overall in the first round. And why is that? Because he is going to affect this defense in every single way that they were deficient last year. He's going to affect them on first down in terms of yards per play given up on, you know, on first down. He's going to affect them as far as third down is concerned, which they were one of the worst teams in the NFL, whether it's him being used as a blitzer or as a coverage player. He's going to affect them in the red area. He's going to affect them with their pass rush win rate, all these different things that they were in the bottom third, the bottom quarter of the league. Micah has to come in, and right now, as the guy who's going to be at the command and control center of this defense, at the Mike linebacker position, he has to be out of his mind good, and everyone else around him has to carry their weight. Otherwise, look, it's going to be 26-plus, 27-plus years that this team has not made it to a conference championship game. I don't care how good Dak and how good Zeke are and how good Tyron is and how good Zach Martin is and Lyle Collins. The defense and special teams, which was another phase that Dominic alluded to in the first hour, they have to carry their weight. And this kid in particular has to be all world. Otherwise, maybe they make it to the playoffs, but they're not going anywhere as far as the Super Bowl is concerned.
If you watch him in college, he certainly has the talent to do that. We didn't see him last year because he opted out. And Micah Parsons, I think most people believe, was the best defensive player in this draft. So, Booger, have they made enough changes with the new coordinator, which means the new scheme, and the players they brought in, a lot of whom will be young, have they made enough changes to be as much better as they will need to be? Yes or no, Boog?
No, Greeny, and the simple answer, no, absolutely not. Micah Parsons, I thought, was the best defensive player in this draft, and I think he's going to be outstanding to lose point. He has to be. But when you play that Dan Quinn-style defense, you better have some dudes up front, probably 4 to 6 dudes that you can rotate in that can stop the run and get after the quarterback. And I just don't see it, Greeny. I don't think they have them. DeMarcus Lawrence is coming off of a season where he was undervalued. He underperformed, had a back surgery this offseason. So what are we going to get out of him? Even if he's 100% healthy, where are the other dudes up front? When you run a 4-3 nickel, whatever you want to call it, you got to have some guys that can absolutely be dominant up front, and the Cowboys don't have it. So how do you try to mask that, okay? If you got to go get some more players, or offensively, you're going to have to try to control the football, as Dominique will say, with Cousin Dak. I think Ezekiel Elliott, along with Cousin Dak, they have to run the football just a little bit more because they don't have the dudes defensively, particularly up front, to do what they need to do to be better. So it sounds good, but in the end, they don't have enough weapons.
They're not completely devoid of talent on defense. But the problem is the way that you build, or there are a couple ways to build a good defense, but you need to have something that you can rely on. And that's not just true of defense, that's true of offense. Like, you need to have a unit. And Booger spoke to this. If that D-line is great, we can put a lot of pressure on that D-line to be great, and that takes pressure off elsewhere. If your linebackers are where they're supposed to be, then you can put pressure on them and help out the rest of your team. And I think that's where they're going to have to focus. They're going to have to find a way for not just Micah, but all those linebackers to be great, because they have okay players at other spots. Like Lawrence, he's a great player, but they don't have enough across the front and they don't have enough in the back end to put pressure on those guys to take pressure off elsewhere. So these linebackers are going to have to be outstanding. Dan Quinn's going to have to fix his scheme in order to put the pressure on the linebackers and alleviate pressure elsewhere. And they don't have to be top of the league good. They got to be like middle of the pack good or top half good, and then let Cousin Dak and that offense cook.
If not, then all the pressure will be on Dak and that offense, and we'll see. That might be too much even for them, as good as they look. All right, coming up, he may be one of the most misunderstood players in the NFL. We'll tell you what Odell Beckham really wants and why he has an excellent chance to get it this year. That's on the way. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Pack. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We will have an MLS doubleheader for you Friday night, starting with an Eastern Conference matchup. Second place Orlando City taking on Atlanta. That's 8 Eastern. Then two of the best in the West square off, the LA Galaxy against Portland. Both matches are on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. One app, one tap. All right, meanwhile, back to the NFL. The Browns kick off their training camp tomorrow. The health of Odell Beckham Jr., of course, will be one of the big storylines. His season was cut short last year with a torn ACL. OBJ spoke over the weekend about his expectations for this team. Give a listen.
It's just something that feels special about this team, something that feels special with the city. Watching the Bucks win a championship, you know, inspires you even more. It's like Cleveland needs a championship, and I think that's the goal. That's the mentality in that building, and that's, you know, what I want to be a part of.
That was real interesting. And for those of you just joining us, Dominique, I thought, made an excellent point when we discussed this earlier, that frequently when players come back from an injury, they'll tell you, this is what I'm going to do. Look, wait until you see what I'm going to do. And he's talking about what the team is going to do. So, Lewis, I find this one of the most interesting questions in the sport. They were so good last year without him. Is it as simple as he comes back and they just get that much better? With him, there always seem to be some questions regarding that. Does he just make them exponentially better based upon how good he is?
Yeah, I think he does obviously elevate the overall team and the offense in particular because, look, he's a very uniquely talented individual. At one point in time, we thought this may be one of the most talented players we'd ever seen in the NFL, period, let alone at wide receiver. And I think as long as his mindset remains that global mindset, that team mindset of, look, I just want this team to win a Super Bowl, and he just focuses on his efficiency within the context of the offense, yeah, I think he could have an even greater impact in terms of explosive, timely plays, efficiently, you know, efficient play than he would if he just got a X number of targets and felt as though he was getting his, so to speak. And I think he understands that. I think he saw that. Look, he's not, we aren't the only ones who see that this team and this quarterback in particular looked more natural and looked more efficient when he wasn't there. I think he notices that and he recognizes, well, what did I have to do with that? How was I holding that back? How can I contribute to that going forward, which obviously will contribute to us being a better football team. But I think this is just the growth and maturity of Odell Beckham Jr. I think that's just something that happens with the majority of players in the NFL. As they get later on in their careers, they understand that, or rather, they desire more team success than individual success. And I love to hear it from him. I just want to see it happen on the football field and see, because they are in a hell of a tough division. The AFC North is tough. And they have some people that they're going to have to deal with in that division that maybe other people aren't necessarily giving, you know, a whole lot of respect at this point. And they're going to need him to have this mindset in order for them to get to where they want to get to.
Booger, he's a guy you know, obviously, from your days at LSU. And he wouldn't be the first receiver who wasn't happy if he wasn't getting the ball all the time. Do you know what I mean? Like, he can have a team mindset, but if they start winning games and he's not getting touches and he's not getting targets and he's not getting touchdowns, it wouldn't just be unique to Odell to not be totally satisfied in that circumstance. How do you expect it to play if this is the balanced, run-heavy offense that we expect it to be?
Well, I agree. Him coming off injury to me is going to be the key. As someone who was injured a few times in my career, there's nothing more that can humble you than when you see another player or the team out there playing at a high level and it's as if they don't need you at all, as if that player in your position is a better player than you. That's very humbling. I don't care who you are. And I got the feeling listening to Odell, he's been humbled a little bit. So, yeah, I get it. He is an uber-talented player, maybe one of the most talented we've ever seen. But I do think that he knows that guess what? They really don't need me around here, okay? They can go out and play at a high level. Now, what can I do to add to them to make sure we can go to the next level? That's number one. Two, I think Baker got the confidence that he could run the show without Odell. So I think bringing Odell back in the fold now, Baker's going to have the confidence when Odell says, hey, man, I need my touches, he'll be like, okay, cool. I got it. I understand it because that year of maturity is going to be there for him. But there's no doubt. His talent level will upgrade the offense, but he is a humble talent. And as someone who's been hurt, that is something that will bring you down. And I see that in Odell right now.
That's interesting to me, Neek, because we just heard Tom Brady telling the whole world, man, these teams didn't want me. I'll show them. And we've heard Aaron Rodgers with the chip on his shoulder and Michael Jordan. I took that personal. And now all of a sudden, here's Odell. And the whole world is saying they were better without you. Maybe he comes back humbled, or maybe he comes back with that chip on his shoulder. What do you think?
Yeah, maybe both happen. Like, I think that both are possible, and I think that both are good for the team. So we've had a couple blocks back-to-back where we didn't have insiders. We just had football guys. We got some real in-depth defensive knowledge in the last conversation. Now I'm going to take you over to some in-depth stuff about offense. Sometimes on offense, the coaching scheme is not enough. You think about it, when you look at basketball, you get towards the end of the game, you know what they do? They do like a 1-4 ISO. They give it to the best guy at the top of the key and let him work. Sometimes the scheme isn't going to work out. And there are only a few guys, like maybe 10 or 20 guys in the league, that you can just give them the ball and cross your fingers and good things might happen. That will save your offense. And Odell Beckham is a guy with that type of talent. Whatever else you want to say about anything else about him, the clip where we saw that reverse against the Cowboys, clips where we see him catch short slants at the Giants and take him to the crib, like that is not killing coaches, that's saving coaches. You don't got to scheme up for that. When you're like, oh, they figured us out, they got our audibles called, they know everything that we're going to do. Throw it to OBJ and cross your fingers. Something good's going to happen more times than not.
All right, we will see. That feels to me like one of the most interesting storylines going into this season. Meanwhile, we got baseball coming your way tonight. It's a good one. AL East leading Red Sox host the Blue Jays in game one of four at Fenway. Our coverage starts right after SportsCenter, 7 Eastern, right here on ESPN and the app, One App, One Tap. Coming up next, with no signs of thawing in the iciness between Rodgers and the Packers on the eve of camp, should the team be considering some really bold moves? Booger and Sam Acho weigh in on that. It's First Take. It follows us on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, don't miss the draft. It's coming your way Thursday night from Barclays in Brooklyn. The Pistons have the first pick, expected to be Oklahoma State's Cade Cunningham. They're followed by Houston, Cleveland, Toronto, Orlando. Should be good. 8 Eastern on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app. All right, and so once again, the overwhelming story in the world of sports right now continues to be Aaron Rodgers with the cryptic messages that he and Devontae Adams posted on Instagram over the weekend. And tomorrow we will get some clarity on this. It's interesting. He was the answer to Graziano's trivia question earlier today, Aaron Rodgers, and the question referenced an active quarterback. And we made the joke, Graziano, and I'd love you to repeat it here. This could be his last day as an active quarterback. Why is that?
Because he could retire, right? That's one of the options at his disposal if he doesn't want to play for the Packers anymore. So that could be news that we get as early as tomorrow.
And again, it wouldn't mean, to be clear, right, it wouldn't mean Aaron Rodgers is walking away from football. It would be mostly a financially driven move in that case?
Well, because they wouldn't be able to fine him, right? And then the other thing is, like, if he retires, maybe they can get the signing bonus back, but he could say, you know, he's retiring for health reasons and all that. So yeah, there would be reasons to do it from that standpoint. But fundamentally, it would the key parallel is the Carson Palmer situation when he didn't want to play for Cincinnati anymore, and he retired, ultimately came out of retirement so they could trade him.
Dominic, we always like the psychological piece of all of this stuff. I mean, all kidding aside, training camp is going to open tomorrow. Right. And if Aaron Rodgers does not show up, which I don't think any one of us thinks he's going to, I can't even fathom the impact that's going to have. Like, I sometimes think we use the word distraction a little bit too loosely, yeah. But in this case, it most certainly applies.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only distraction, like we talk about distractions like they're going to make your team worse. Yes, this is going to make your team worse. Not because it's distracting Jordan Love or it's distracting Blake Bortles or whoever they're going to have play quarterback, because they're not as good as him. So I still don't think that this qualifies as any sort of distraction that's going to hurt the team, except for the fact that Aaron Rodgers taking his talents is just detracting away from the talent of that team. So that's the real problem.
Lewis, is there a way out of this? Do you see it from your front office history and everything else? Is there a way out of this?
For the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah.
No, there isn't. He doesn't like them anymore. No, there is no way out of it. It's about formulating the best exit strategy for them. And for them, the best exit strategy right now for them is to be quiet. Don't mention his name. Let him do the talking. Let him decide what he wants to do. Is he not going to show up? Is he going to retire? Is he not going to retire, not show up, and then have to give up all that money? Then does the regular season come? And at some point in time, then they have to decide, okay, look, we know without him we're not as good. We know we're never going to really recoup fair value for a surefire Hall of Famer and the reigning MVP. But it's best for us to move on now, because there's some certainty now as to what the compensation would be, as opposed to next year when we just don't know what the landscape will look like. But, you know, there really is no good exit strategy for them right now. That's why I'm just – I hope he does – you know what? I hope he does do something that's shocking. Number one, I don't think he's showing up without a doubt. And number two, if he did retire, oh, my – yes, it's a good day to be on TV if that happens.
Chaos.
Yes,
way
indeed.
Way to keep that one clean. Lewis Riddick, we'll let you go. I know you get First Take coming your way in 90 seconds, and you'll be there. Outstanding, as always, my man. Thank you. Booger, let me come back to you. Yeah. Here for a final word on this. What do you think is a reason? Oh, no. I'm told we got to – hold on. Leave the Aaron Rodgers thing aside. I need to settle this once and for all. Booger McFarland, this was the Bitmoji that we put up with you earlier in the program, and that's the Bitmoji of Dan Graziano. And somehow there seemed to be some confusion on both of your parts with these. And Dominique, I mean, I guess I'll ask it to you. Don't you think it kind of just looks like these guys?
I mean, I'm sorry, guys. You have an inflated view of self. You guys are twinsies.
All Booger? I said was, why didn't Dominique have one?
Listen, you know why? Why doesn't Dominique have a goofy-looking cartoon? Because Dominique's not goofy-looking. Boom.
Booger, go.
The one on the right looks like Fat Albert. Dan looks like Saving Private Ryan. Neither one of us looks like those two guys. So first of all, understand that. Hey, I'm just sitting back right now waiting on the tweet from one of our insiders with what's going to go on with Aaron Rodgers. That's all I'm waiting on the rest of the day.
I hope it's
whoever
me.
Came up with that, hey.
I got 2 minutes. My phone's blowing up with goofy texts from former players that didn't like what I said on TV.
I
don't want to name names.
The bad feelings today have been a shame.
You're just a trivia guy.
We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.